Adam's my misunderstanding of Adam's writing to R-I-D-I-N-G. It made me think of another interesting emotional thing that helps us a lot, and that is laughter. I've read several accounts of people that had life-threatening diseases, from MS, cancer, different things. They cured themselves with laughter. This one guy got, I think it was cancer, and he pretty much had a death sentence hanging over him, and he had the theory that he could cure it with laughter. So he rented every comedy movie that he could, and he watched funny movies every night until he tried to get the gist of all the humor and force himself to laugh as much as he could, and in a couple months he was cured. So it's interesting how laughter has such a positive effect, and reminds me, funny story, back in the eighth grade, the teacher had us read different segments in our literature class. We'd get up and read different segments of the story. And so it was my turn, and I got up, and as I was reading along, just the thought occurred to me, why, wouldn't it be funny, wouldn't it be weird if all of a sudden I just burst out laughing uncontrollably? And just that thought, I couldn't get it out of my head, and as I was reading along, you know, that I found that thought very, very, very funny. And all of a sudden, I had this tremendous urge just to laugh. And I kept reading along. I tried to keep from laughing. And the more I tried to keep from laughing, the more the urge to laugh came to me. And finally, I couldn't control it anymore. And I just let out a roar of laughter. And everybody looked at each other, you know, as I was just sitting there. I was just laughing away. And then people looked at each other, and then they started laughing. And pretty soon, half the school room was laughing. And then pretty soon, even the teacher started laughing. And then everybody was laughing. By the time it was over, we just all laughed for about 2 or 3 minutes straight. You know. But here's the funny part. Everybody thought that there was something funny that happened, but that they missed it. That's what everybody thought. And at recess, kids come up to me and said, "No, that was really funny, but could you tell me exactly what it was that everybody was laughing at? But I thought I missed it, but I saw everybody else laughing, so I laughed. But I seem to have missed the really funny part." And everybody in the whole class was mystified as to what did I miss. Everybody wondered what they missed. And so when I learned that, I thought, you know, that was the funniest part of all. So I had the last laugh on everybody. So laughter is good for the soul. You know, in World War II, one of the biggest differences between the leaders of both sides was humor. Churchill was a very funny guy. He was always saying funny stuff. Hitler, does anybody ever remember anything funny Hitler said? Yeah, I've read quite a few of his speeches out of curiosity to see what he had to say, and I didn't laugh one time. Very serious dude. And DK says this about that this is one of the differences between the forces of light and the forces of darkness. The forces of light are more lighthearted and have a better sense of humor. The forces of darkness take a very serious approach. Yet, you know, we go to the religious world, and what kind of approach do they have? Extremely, everything very serious. Got to be extremely reverent. Which reminds me that was one of the problems I had with religion when I was a kid. They used to come get me to, everybody tried to get me to go to church when I was a little kid, and I didn't want to go because I thought it was really boring. But I felt kind of guilty about it. I thought, well, you know, I should go. So if Easter or something come along, I might go just to sergeant my guild, because everybody was bugging me about it and telling me I needed to go. One time when I went, the bishop called me in. And he says, "How come you don't go to church?" I says, "It's boring." And he acted like he never heard that before, like it was a new thing. And he says, "Boring? Boring? Why would you think church is boring?" I said, "Well, the speeches, for instance. I mean, they get just boring, monotone speech. Speech is boring? Well, we got wonderful speakers here. I mean, they're just wonderful people." I said, "Well, not to me. To me, they put me to sleep." And he says, "Well, what else bothers you?" I says, "The music. It's the most boring, monotone music. I mean, have you ever listened to Elvis or rock and roll or Everly Brothers and compare them to what we sing here?" He said, "Oh, our hymns are wonderful. How can you say that?" I mean, he was just beside himself. It was like he'd never heard that comparison before. I mean, like, it blew him away. He didn't know what to say. He just, I think, gave me up as lost cause. And then one day, I was walking along, and I thought, "Well, let's look at this church thing. If it's true that if I'm a good guy and go to church and everything, then I have an eternity of bliss and paradise and celestial kingdom and all that. To attain that, I have to put up with a boring church for a lifetime." But let's consider this. I said, a lifetime compared to eternity is like a snap of a finger compared to a day or a year. Now, would I be willing to put up with a couple seconds of discomfort to have a whole year or a lifetime of pleasure? I thought, this is probably, logically, a pretty good trade-off. And I was just 13 when I was thinking this was going through my mind. So I thought, logically, I should go to church then if that's the deal. Okay? But I don't know if I can handle it. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to force myself to go for 6 weeks straight, no matter how boring it is. And if I decide after 6 weeks I can't handle it, then I'll just be like my dad and be irreligious, you know. But if I can handle it, then I'll go the rest of my life. And, of course, I didn't quite wind up going the rest of my life. Other things got in the way. But so I forced myself to go, and I started studying the other kids and see how they handled things, and I found that the adults were very serious, took everything very serious, but the kids were very lighthearted, and if they could do anything to upset the apple cart or to create some humor in the situation, they would do it. The teacher was up there teaching something, and there was some way to have fun in the class, they would do it. Like, teacher up there writing away, they would throw erasers at each other and throw spit wads at each other. And it was kind of the teacher's reward for being really boring, because if the teacher was good, they wouldn't really do that. They'd pay a little bit of attention. But if the teacher wasn't very good, they would give him a bad time. And I was almost late to every class because I found them pretty boring. So one of my escape mechanisms was to be late. And I remember one time I came to a priesthood class, and I was really late. So I came to the window, the back window, and I knocked on the window, and I told one of the kids to open the window so I could climb through. And as the teacher had his back turned, I climbed through the window, sat in the chair, and then the teacher turns around and he says, "Oh, Joe, I didn't see you there before. Would you give the prayer?" And I says, "Opening or closing?"
Everybody. Opening or closing?
Opening or closing prayer.
Oh, what's the time for
I don't remember, but I remember everybody in the class really laughed. I think it was the closing, actually.
He was really late.
Another time I had a friend of mine, he was asked to give a prayer. And he's up there before the whole group. It was a pretty good-sized group, about 30 people or so. And he happened to look at me, and when he looked at me, I gave him a look. I did my best to try to make him laugh. You know, and I go, you know, like that. And so he was up there, and it really affected him. He was up there, he goes, just about to give the prayer, then he looks at me, and he goes, and all of a sudden I could tell, you know, he was, you know, and I started making faces and stuff, and everybody else had their eyes closed. They go, and he goes, he's trying to talk. He's going. He says, "Heavenly Father," and he goes, and then I, oh, you know, go. Like, he goes. He goes. And the person, everybody's looking, at, opened their eyes and want to know what was wrong. Amen. He sits down. And then the funny part happened. Then the guy that was presiding comes up to my friend Brent, puts his arm around him, and he says, "Brent, that was a fine prayer. That was good." Because he didn't want him to feel bad. And Brent felt like hitting him.